Open your Bibles up to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. It says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." You know, we spend a lot of time making sure that we don't get brought under the law. But we still have some laws that we do have to keep in the New Testament. We have the law of love, the law of liberty, and the law of faith. But the good news is, when you happen to break one of these laws, you're not cursed. There's no lightning bolt coming your way. Although these are really important for us to be mindful of these three laws, you know, and we're going to look at these three in particular. But here's the thing, there's a mentality in the church that says that if you do something wrong, you know, you can expect sickness or poverty or something. You know, I run into people all the time. You know, something bad will happen to them, and they'll say it's because I did this or did that. And maybe that may have been the precursor, but they get this idea that one day God is blessing them and one day God is cursing them. You know, something bad will happen, and they'll say, well, God took my job. I should have did this. Or God took my baby because of this. No. And it really annoys me when preachers tell people that God took their loved one. He didn't. He received them. Sees them. But God's not the killer. He's not the killer. But just look at this first law. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. Says, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Look down to verse 13. It says, "In that he saith, the new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish." That first covenant, that old covenant, that covenant of law had to be done away with. We could not keep it. We could not keep it. There's a lot of people running around saying that they can keep the law. If anybody could keep the law, then it would have been no reason to send Jesus to die on the cross to set us free from that. If anybody could keep the law, then Jesus died in vain. But nobody ever was able to keep the law. Only Jesus. He was the only one that could keep the law. He fulfilled it. And then he set us free from it. And then we have people running around today in the Christian world that fight tooth and nail to try to keep the law so they can be blessed. It won't work. It won't work. You can't keep the law. And then, see, then this is why we have, it's a crazy thing. I call them schizophrenic Christians. You run into them all the time, but when you run into them, it's when there's something really, really big that's happened. Something, you know, some kind of a catastrophe or some kind of a tragic death or something, and they'll start blaming God. Or they'll say, because we did this, God did that. You know, and then when something really, really good happens, they say, God blessed us because we did this. See how people get confused? They think it's because of their own performance that they got blessed or cursed, one way or the other. And they got to get away from that. See, God found fault with that old covenant. So what laws are we supposed to be looking at in this New Testament time? Well, the first one we look at, Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Now, I know that this is before the cross, but it's still something that we cling to. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. It says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the commandments. Now, we can run around trying as hard as we can to love God in every way we can. And if we're counting on that to cause us to be blessed, we're going to fail. See, Jesus was talking to Old Testament people under the law. And he's telling them how to fulfill the law. But we still have to fulfill the law of love. See, we're not going to get out of loving our neighbor. That we're not going to get out of that. We're not going to get out of loving people in the world. That's just part of what it is. Now, here's the key to fulfilling that law. Believe the love that God has for you. When you believe the love that God has for you, loving God is going to come a whole lot easier. And loving your neighbor is going to come a whole lot easier. But the Bible clearly tells us that the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. I seen a guy one time, he wrote out a whole 3-page essay on why he got born again. Because he loved God so much, he wanted to be born again. And all these things, he went through this whole and I finally just got tired of reading it. I just put it away. I got born again because I didn't want to go to hell. That's why I got born again. I didn't know how to love anybody like that, and nobody else can either. The only way we can love is because God's love is put in our hearts. Amen? See, that's how we can deal with people that are unlovely. You know, it is not natural for a lot of people to deal with different people that are different than them. You know, it's not natural. It was not natural for me to just go talk to somebody and tell them how to get born again. That was not natural for me. In fact, a lot of the people I've talked to and witnessed to, my old me didn't like them. And my old me wouldn't talk to them. But something happened to me when God shed his love in my heart. He made it where I could go share his love with somebody else. It's strange how that happens. But he can take introverts and turn them into extroverts. He'll widen our circle if we'll let him. Look, this royal law of love a little bit more. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. And this is our key. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. See, a lot of people are afraid of God. A lot of people are afraid of God, especially before they get born again. A lot of people are afraid of, you know, we don't want to go into the light. we're afraid something's going to get exposed. But here's the thing. Or we've heard some false information about God. But here's the thing. We get introduced to Him, and He does something good in our life. Somehow, we get exposed to His love for us, and that changes us. And then we start loving Him. But it's because He loved us first. You know, when you find out that your sins are forgiven, truly forgiven, and you look at the things that Jesus did for you on the cross, it makes you fall more in love with Him every time. The more you learn of Jesus, the more you're going to love Him. Because the more you learn of Jesus, you're going to find out the more that He did for you. And it's just going to cause you to love Him even more. That's how we'll fulfill the royal law of love. See, you live according to the laws of the new covenant when you are conscious of how much God loves you. See, when you're trying to do something to earn merit with God, it's going to be a struggle and it's going to be hard. But when you're conscious of how much God loves you, you'll be bold enough to do things you never thought you could do or never thought you would do. But when you realize just how much He cares about you, how much He loves you, it'll change your life. You know, I told a guy one time, I said, God loves you. And he said, how could He? I said, well, that's an interesting question. And I said, why would you say that? And he said, I killed people. And in the Ten Commandments, it says I'm not supposed to kill people. And I said, weren't you a soldier? And he said, yeah, in Beirut. And I said, well, see, the original Ten Commandments said, thou shalt not murder. You didn't murder anybody. You brought mercy to somebody else by taking out the bully. But you didn't murder anybody. And it changed him. I think the change was so drastic. He went from being gloomy all the time and in despair and doubt to going to church and being happy and glowing, getting married, raising kids. It was an amazing transformation. All because he found out how much God loved him. Isn't that amazing what the love of God can do when we focus on how much God loves us? It'll change us. But if we focus on how much we love God, we're going to have a grind. It's going to be hard. Because I promise you, the devil will tell you where you missed it here, where you came up short there. Why? Because that is the Old Testament law. See, the law of love, when operated correctly through the New Testament side of things, by believing the love that God has for us, that'll be pretty easy. I'm not saying that you're going to not ever have challenges, because there's people out there. And sometimes people are just really, really annoying. You know, I mean, sometimes they're just plumb rude. Some of them are really nasty. But we can still get by. We can still operate in love. Amen? You know, this, if you ever get into this, this is one of the things that people in the world will pull on preachers. You know, they'll get in a bind, they'll need some money or they'll need some help. And they'll come up to you and maybe you'll get a check in your spirit and back out of it and say, no, I don't think so. And they say, you're supposed to love me. You're a preacher. You're supposed to love me. I said, I do. But I ain't giving you no money. Amen. I mean, we have to be led by Holy Spirit. I mean, we're not just a open credit card to the world. You know, there's people that just, you know, I won't give them money. I might buy them food. Might buy them a little bit of food, but I'm not giving them any money. And then there are some people that I'll just flat out, I'll go give them money. You know, Holy Spirit will say, yeah, get him some money. It's not hard. And you're going to miss it. I promise you, we all miss it at some point. But there's nothing wrong with helping poor people. See, you're walking in love when you do that. There's nothing wrong with helping people that are in trouble. You're walking in love when you do that. And don't worry. If the Holy Spirit asks you to give somebody $100, don't look at it like, oh, I'll be fasting for a couple of days. That's not the way this operates. God will be a debtor to no man. When you lend unto the poor, you lend unto God. And he's going to make sure you get that back. Amen. So don't worry about it. There's more where that came from. You're getting it out of his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, not out of his supply. See, we're always looking at supply. We're always looking at supply and demand. Do we have enough supply to meet the demand? When we're supposed to be looking at it through the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus, where the demand is already met by his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We just have to get it from heaven to earth. Let's look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 25. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That perfect law of liberty is where we got set free in Christ Jesus, and we will not let anybody yoke us with the law. And this yoke is pretty deceiving, and it's pretty tricky. I've seen a lot of Word of Faith preachers operate with this yoke and get people convinced that their obedience is going to get them to be blessed. And they'll get people pumped up, and then they'll pass that offering plate, and they'll say, you tithe into this ministry, you're going to take part in our anointing, and you're going to be blessed. And people give out of emotion. And then I run into people, I've talked to lots of people that said, you know, I gave into that ministry and nothing happened. My mom gave into that ministry and nothing happened. Why? Well, you didn't give out of faith, number one. You gave out of emotion. Number two, you probably didn't ask Holy Spirit that that's where you needed to be given. Number three, you don't have any business in trying to get somebody else's anointing when the Holy Spirit's anointing is the only one you need to be interested in. And you can't buy that. That's the gift of the Father. You can't buy it. You can't buy the things of God. So you see how that game works? I call them pulpiteers. Get people really, really up, 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 and pass the plate. And people fall for it all the time. Another sneaky little hideous thing that happens is people will get born again and they want to improve their fellowship with God. They want to grow in their relationship with Him. They want to know what to do. They want to do something. And somehow preachers will get people conned into thinking that there's these certain things that they have to do in order to get to heaven. That's heartbreaking. Because what happens is they'll make a mistake and then they think all is lost. I had a lady call me one time and said she was crying on the phone. She was upset. She said her pastor told her that she couldn't go to heaven because she didn't speak in tongues. I said, that's not true. I witnessed to her when she got born again. I was in the jail cell with her when she got born again. But then somebody added something to the work of God. Said, here's this other thing that you got to do. They do it all the time. It never ends. That's that yoke we have to watch out. We have to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty that we've been given. But if we don't know about that liberty, and this is why it's so important, you know, there's like this bubble, this pink cloud. When people get born again, they're floating around on this pink cloud. And I encourage them to say, man, you got to get to church. You got to get in there. You got to start hearing the word of faith. You know, you got to start reading your Bible, start learning what you got. You got to get in there. That pink cloud is going to burst. It's going to pop and you're going to come crashing back down. And they do. But if they crash in church, they at least they have a chance at learning how to start learning what they got. But see, if we don't first learn that we've been set free from the law because of the work that Jesus did on the cross, we'll have a habit of trying to pick up the law in order to be blessed. I wasted a lot of time trying to earn my blessings, trying to earn my healings, trying to earn this, trying to earn that. I didn't realize that all that had already been freely given to me in Christ Jesus. One thing I needed to know is I needed to go and learn of Jesus, learn from Him, and then these other things would come to me. But you know, when there's something wrong with your body or something wrong, really wrong with your finances or something really wrong with some area of your life, you have a tendency to focus on that, and that's what you seem to study. You seem to study, people start going and buying books and reading on that, started studying on that, and that's what they study. Or, heaven forbid, they Google it. Or maybe even worse yet, they go to Facebook and ask somebody. There's a lot of Fruit Loops on Facebook. I don't know if you've ever noticed. And there's a lot of the Google. You know, one of the people have some weird thing, you know, they'll have some shoulder glitch, you know, Google it, and it'll be some hideous disease. They'll convince themselves it's a hideous disease. You got a sore shoulder, you know. But people will do that. What we need to understand is our subconscious is one of the most gullible things there is. Our subconscious doesn't know right from wrong. It doesn't know up from down. It doesn't know yes from no. The only thing our subconscious knows is what we teach it. See, this is why it's so very important to get the witness of the Holy Spirit inside of you by the Word of God. Get His Word in you. And then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. See, early on, I got that in me. And then I started figuring out, because I would know that these preachers were not telling the truth. I didn't know in the address where to prove it, but I knew it wasn't true. But I had read it in the Bible. So I knew the stuff that they were telling me was not true, and it was going to be a bad yoke for me to. I didn't want it. So I stayed away from it. I can't express to you enough how important it is to read the Bible for yourself. And if you know, sometimes people can't read it, they can listen to it. You know, you can get the Bible online and you can listen to it. You can plug your earphones in and it'll read the Bible to you. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, he couldn't read when he got saved. His wife read the Bible to him. And look how he turned out. That guy turned out pretty good. You know, but we need to hear the Word of God. And here's another thing. We're going to hear Him in our spirits, too. Not just with our flappers. You know, there's a lot of people that can't hear with their ears that use sign language. Did you know they get born again? But faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. How did they hear it if their ears don't work? You hear it in your heart. You hear it in your heart. So we have the perfect law of liberty. We need to make sure that we understand that you are perfectly accepted and you're made righteous and you're justified freely by His grace. You can't earn righteousness. You can't earn grace. You're not going to be any more accepted than you already are. The minute you get born again, you are part of the family. You are in. And you qualify for all of the blessings. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, the only way we can come boldly into the throne room of grace is because of the blood of Jesus. And understand Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. See, until we understand that God is not mad at us. He's not condemning us. He's not holding fault for us. We're not going to have confidence going to His presence. Well, there's a lot of Christians out there that need to understand that you can go boldly into His throne room of grace. It's because of the blood of Jesus that we have that boldness. But we must do that. You know, even when we make mistakes, we got to have that boldness going to His presence, because guess what? He's the only one that can clean us up. We can't clean ourselves up and then go to Him. We go to Him and then He cleans us up. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 14. And this is a really good outline for prayer. It says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we are the petitions that we desired of Him. See, we know we're going to have to pray at some point. So we just will have some directions. And thank God those directions only took two little verses. See, God made it simple for us. If you ever find yourself where it's a struggle, it's really hard, it's just, you can't get there, that's not God. That's man. Man makes God hard. God makes God easy. And it's not a new thing. Jesus even confronted it in the Old Testament people. You know, He said, you guys will go to the ends of the earth to get one proselyte. And then you'll bring him here and you'll load him down with so many laws that he's no good. He can't do anything. See, what would happen? They go get their proselyte and then they just add stuff to him. It was such a burden. I don't think anybody really wanted to be around it. It happens in Christianity today. We'll go all over the world telling people they're saved by grace. Get them in church and then get them convinced that there's these certain things that you have to do in order to go to heaven. They may not say it in those exact words, that they will imply it and they'll have people convinced of it. And then they wonder why people are frustrated, because they're under the law. Romans chapter 3, verse 27. Romans chapter 3, verse 27 says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. See, it is grace that we are saved, that it might be by faith. But there is something about mankind that thinks that if they don't do something, it's not worth having. Yeah. And they want to convince you that it's because they did this, and they did this, and they did this, that they got blessed. Because I prayed till my tongue turned to sandpaper, and I fasted till my ribs popped out. And then God blessed me. Well, that was one of the things I was kind of under the impression of for a long time. Because I wanted to find out how people operated in the anointing. And they always, somewhere in their book, they paid the price. No, you didn't. Jesus paid the price. Amen. Now, praying and fasting are okay. That's a good thing. But don't think for a second that you earned anything. It was freely given to you. You just happened to study on a certain subject long enough to finally get it where you could operate in it. But you did not earn it. It was freely given you. I always wondered why some people operated in faith and some people operated in healing and miracles, and some people operated in something else. And it finally sunk into me one day. I was watching Benny Hinn and another guy. They were on a talk show. And the one guy was a Word of Faith preacher that had dealt in finances, and he was talking about finances, and Benny was looking at him like he was some kind of an alien. Like he had never heard that. But Benny operated in mighty, mighty miracles. Well, what did you study? See, if you study math, every day for a month, how good do you suppose you're going to do at the science fair? Probably not. But if you study science every day for a month, how good are you going to do in art class? See, it's what you study. It's what you focus on. That's what you become. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you talk to a lot of people, they act almost as though faith comes by having heard. You know, can I talk to them? They say, yeah, I heard that before. Yeah, I didn't ask you if you heard it before. It's something you got to keep hearing, and you got to hear it, and you got to hear it. And you got to read it. You got to study it. And you got to meditate on it. Look at it. And think it over. And get it in your heart till we get what we call a rhema word. That's how faith happens. We become fully persuaded. We're completely convinced. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That yoke of bondage gets destroyed by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. And this is how we will remain free from that yoke of bondage. See, we still got a yoke that we can take on, but it's a healthy yoke. It's a good yoke. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 says, take my yoke. Actually, verse 28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, that's what it's like under the law. You're labor and you're heavy laden. But take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. And he's saying, take his yoke. Get that yoke of the law off of you and let the Holy Spirit destroy that. Let that anointing of the Holy Spirit destroy that. The only way that's going to happen is take his yoke upon you and learn of him. You know, one of the old sayings is, if you don't know about it, it ain't going to hurt you. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. Because there's a lot of people that don't know a lot of things in the Bible, and it's affecting them on a day-to-day basis. They don't know that healing is still available in the Bible. And that affects them every day. They don't know that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is available to them. That affects them on a day-to-day basis. They don't know that God has finances available to them. And that affects them on a day-to-day basis. They don't know that God has protection for them. They don't know that angels have been sent to minister to us. All these things that they don't know affects them, whether they like to believe it or not. It affects them drastically. You know, sometimes people really do need a miracle. I believe Wanda got a miracle the other day. We prayed for her. I believe there was a tumor in there. But I believe that God took it out of there. And it's not because we were so cool. It's just we did what Jesus said. Whatsoever we shall ask in His name, that's what He will do. He cleaned that thing out of there. I think it's happened a lot more times than people realize. And the doctors just count it as a misdiagnosis. Like they really know something. God beat them to the punch. Well, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for taking care of us. And Father, we thank you for your blessing, and we thank you for Holy Spirit, who's always here with us. Father, we thank you for the mighty name of Jesus that we use. We thank you for the blood of Jesus and the work on the cross. He set us free. He broke that yoke. He set us free and put us in the law of liberty, put us under grace. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.